And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is finding your dream. Each of my guests is discussing what it means to find a dream boss, a dream job, or in this case, discover a dream wine. My first guest is a top magazine editor over at Fortune Magazine who never intended to manage other people. He shared his unconventional wisdom based on two decades of leading others from his book, You Can't Fire Everybody. My second guest has taken an unconventional approach to finding a job. He's the owner of one of the country's largest recruiting firms. He shared what it takes to find the right fit between a company and employee from his book, Harper's Rules. My next guest is a wine and food expert from the Midwest. He's a recurring guest on WGN in Chicago and has his own web show, Gastro Tommy. He'll share three simple tips for choosing great wines. And if you want to join in the conversation, if you want to talk to Tommy Powers, you can always call us at 639-0008. Tommy Powers owns and operates Harvest on Huron, a top-rated Chicago restaurant. As I said, he's a recurring guest on Chicago's WGN, and he's created his own web show, Gastro Tommy, to educate, entertain, and encourage food and wine lovers to explore the inside world of top winemakers and restaurants around the world. Through Gastro Tommy, Tommy has introduced his audiences to the chefs, winemakers, sommeliers that are shaping today's world of gastronomy. Each episode has a celebrity guest. It provides an inside detail at a new culinary topic and ultimately provides the audience with an innovative food and beverage pairing. Paid members to the service can also get wine and food at a discount, as well as exclusive access to rare bottles from the finest purveyors of wine and food worldwide. Welcome to the show, Tommy. How are you doing today?
Just great. Thanks for having me on the air today, Billy.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. And let's start with some of the basics for people who are not familiar with your restaurant in Chicago or your show. Give us an idea of what Gastro Tommy is all about.
Yeah, what I saw over the years, Billy, was that the people who were really communicating what was happening in the food and wine business had never actually worked in the field. So they had English literature degrees, sociology degrees, while the quality of their prose was really extraordinary. The quality of their comments was rather surface level. So I felt it was time that somebody who had spent their life in the business begin to share what that experience is really like with the audience. And so what I do is try to provide more primary information to move beyond those initial impressions and let people know who are the people that are really shaping the business today, and to give you a little bit more insight to them and what motivates them, why they're successful in our field.
All right. I think that's a very worthwhile goal, Tommy. Now, bring it on home for my local listeners, if you will, because you've shot shows in Los Angeles and the Santa Barbara areas. What restaurants have you featured? Tell us about that. Which chef did you feature?
You know, I actually came out and I did three properties and one restaurant, but I focused a little bit more in the wine country. So I looked for guys who I thought have really been making beautifully balanced wines and did not radically increase their price points over the years, despite their considerable success. So there are two gentlemen out in Santa Barbara County who share a winemaking facility, Jim Clendenin from Aubin Clément, who focuses on Burgundian varietals, or Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, and Bob Lindquist at Coupe, who's a Rhone specialist, making Syrahs, Marsan, Rosan, Viognier, and actually makes a little bit of Chardonnay as well. But these gentlemen have been making wine close to 30 years. They're as highly regarded as any people in the business. You can find their wines on a lot of the best wine lists around the country, even around the world. And as I say, they're still very, very value-driven, which I think is one of their great propositions.
Well, and that's interesting, Tommy, because how can these people who are just up the road in Santa Barbara County be flying underneath the radar? I mean, you yourself are a professional. You recognize the value and the quality of their wines. How is it that they haven't reached a wider audience?
Well, you know, a lot of what's happened is that the press is always interested in young and new. And so as the decades have gone along, and the other thing, probably the biggest critic in the country is Robert Parker, who really likes the very specific style of wine. Neither Bob nor Jim make wines that are high in alcohol, high in fruit extraction, so Parker wasn't really writing about their wines. It's really only because of sommeliers and people who really understand more elegant, better balanced wines that cause someone to be aware of what these gentlemen are producing. They make wines really at the highest level, extraordinary quality, but again, they're not being written about by those main voices like the Wine Spectator and Robert Parker. So that's where I think they probably didn't get the acknowledgments from the big press that they should have had.
All right, and that makes sense. We're talking to Tommy Powers, everybody, owner of the restaurant Harvest on Huron in Chicago. And Tommy, you've got three simple tips for choosing great wines, whether you're in a restaurant or you're buying them in a store or you're shopping online. Share with us, what are those tips? What should we be looking for?
You know, the first thing I think is for people to build a relationship. And, you know, what I always found in restaurants that was interesting was what little legwork people would do when they had that big date or that big meeting coming up at a restaurant. And there were a handful of people that would call me ahead of time and let me know that it was a special occasion. And I could spend time with them going over our menu, making some suggestions, even opening a bottle of wine and having it on the table. So I would say, you know, make use of the resources at a restaurant. But for other people, what we're seeing is that people are buying a bottle of wine and opening it within a half an hour of that purchase. And you're just losing money by doing that. I think it's important for people to identify a store locally and build a relationship with the people there. You know, fortunately in the United States today, there are people that are very, very bright and very passionate about wine and want to help educate the consumer. So by going into that same store repeatedly and allowing them to get to know your palate, learning how to articulate what it is that you like about a specific bottle of wine, and then buy those wines by the case or put a mixed case together, because you almost always get at least a 10% discount. And so that would be sort of my first rule is build ship.
Okay.
Then the second thing I would tell people to do is to really make use of some of the great tasting events that exist all over. People can meet winemakers, they can meet other wine professionals, and get an opportunity for a relatively small amount of money to taste a wider array of product and take some sort of notes. You know, I see people who have tape recorders and will put some information in there, but start to track what it is that you're tasting so that you can learn to articulate what it is you really like. One of the challenges that I've always seen for people is that they're repeating language that they've heard other people say, but it may not actually be where their own palate is. So someone might say, I like a dry white wine. And I would say, okay, can you give me an example of that? And they would say, Kendall Jackson Chardonnay.
Uh-huh.
That is not
no.
a dry white wine. So they've heard that it's in vogue to drink those wines, but they may not actually be drinking them themselves. So learning their own palate through great tasting opportunities, I think, will really help people.
All right.
And then the last thing is to really look at there are seasons where there are great sales. If we can understand the market as a whole, so January, later part of December, are amazing months to buy wines because distributors have to drop product. So they're selling them into the stores at a lower price, and in many cases the stores are passing them along because everyone's trying to get ahead on those year-end numbers. So those are great times to buy wine. The other time is in August, when many people are traveling, a lot of people aren't engaging in their normal activities. So I see sales in every capacity that are just remarkably good. So get to understand the environment, the business a little bit, and you can structure your buying times then to really start saving some money. If people can buy ahead of the time that they're actually going to drink, they'll be buying better wines at a lower price, and they'll have a little bit more age on them, which is always an asset.
Wow, great advice from Tommy Powers, owner of the restaurant Harvest on Huron. Also has a website, gastrotommy.com. And Tommy, I want to ask you about a local phenomenon here. It's called Two Buck Chuck. Are you familiar with it?
Absolutely.
What makes it so popular, and what's the allure?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a marketing play as much as anything. It communicates effectively what the price point is. I think they're having quite a bit of fun with it, that no one's going to take this too seriously. And I think anyone would be willing to try a $2 bottle of wine. I mean, if you like it, boy, you've probably saved at least $4 to $8 a bottle from what most people are probably buying for an everyday wine. And what they found is that it really fit the profile where a lot of people are drinking wines who probably just sort of got started or aren't drinking really sophisticated wines. So the wine has quite a bit of ripe fruit. It has a little bit of that malolactic, the creamy quality to it. And that's really what Americans were looking for. So they recognized that there was plenty of fruit available. They could create a marketing plan to help distribute the product. They could communicate the message of that endeavor. And they did all of those things wildly successfully.
Oh, I love it. American entrepreneurism at its best. Well, Tommy, let's turn our attention away from Two Buck Chuck, if we can, and start to look at some of the other types of wines that are out there. When I was growing up, French wines were the most popular and the most revered. California wines really hadn't come into their own yet. Kind of give us an idea. What regions of the world are producing the most talked about wines? Is it France, California, Australia, Argentina, Peru? Where is it?
Well, I think we're really looking at a global community today. The marketplace has changed because we've become more savvy. We've become more knowledgeable. The power of the Internet has given us understanding of what's happening in these different countries. So what I would say, while France has always been sort of the benchmark and continues to produce very, very good wines, we're seeing that the rest of the world has really caught up, that winemakers are making wines on a global level. They go to each other's vineyards. They work in each other's wineries. So the overall quality of wine has improved dramatically. I think through that, what we can say is that Spanish wines, Argentine, Chilean wines, providing wines of extraordinary value. I think in addition to that, we can say that California wines are still what we're drinking more of than anything else. I think what's interesting is to see how Australian wines, which were so hot, so popular for 10 or 15 years, have really fallen by the wayside. As people have wanted to try other styles of wine. And so as our palates have matured, we're looking for wines that have a little bit more balance, a little bit more elegance, and certainly a little bit more of that terroir or earthy quality. And I think what we can say is that American wines have moved away from those bigger, flashier styles to wines that are a little bit more restrained and have a little bit more harmony.
And a very interesting factoid, you probably noted this in the newspaper just a couple of days ago, that the United States has finally surpassed France in terms of per person or per capita consumption of wine, which is a big, big changing point. It's a tipping point. France had always led the world in wine consumption.
Indeed. You know, a few years ago, we actually drank for the first time more wine than beer, and I thought that was a remarkable statistic.
It is.
And the fact that now, as Americans, we drink more wine than the French do is really testimony to how our culture as a whole has changed. I think we've become a bit more sophisticated. I think we have an appreciation for the finer things in life. And I think we're finding that wine really does fit into our similar cultural changes where we are eating better, we're drinking better, And I think that just the overall quality of our lives have improved so much over the last 30 years.
Wow. We're talking to Tommy Powers, everybody, owner of Harvest on Huron, a restaurant in Chicago, also owner of GastroTommy.com, a website. Tell us a little bit about GastroTommy.com, if you would, Tommy. What do you want viewers to take away from watching GastroTommy.com?
Well, you know, we tried to ensure that it would succeed on a few different levels. And one is that we've created these videos that are shot in a way that I just don't see anyone else in the industry doing it. I hired this brilliant young director, Daryl Bullock, who is creating a different look and feel. So I'm not using a flip camera. I'm actually using the type of cameras that a movie would be made in. So visually, it's different. I think the other thing that you'll find is through my experience in the industry that I'm able to provide a little bit different depth of education and information. The second component is that I've partnered with these beautiful artisanal purveyors of products, and I don't make a nickel on any sales transaction.
What
I want to do is to get the best items for my viewers. So what I do is I sift through all the different offers that are out there, and then I go find, for example, the best producer of salumi, of cured meats, a gentleman named Herb Eckhaus from La Quercia in Iowa, and then my audience gets a 20% discount on those products. So the only place where we really make money is a membership base. It's $75 for the year, but if you refer a friend who signs up, you get $25 back. So the hope is that you really don't end up paying anything, that you help me grow my business. And then the last thing is I've created an educational component to it where I'm taking people right from the beginning. Here's Wine 101. I'm going to teach you about the regions of the world and then we're going to dial it down so that that overall information becomes more and more powerful as your knowledge continues to grow. And so hopefully you can enjoy it just purely that it's fun to watch, that you're interested in buying beautiful product at a discount, and then finally that I'm really going to teach you something to make you a better, smarter consumer as you continue to enjoy my show.
Oh, that is great. We're talking to Tommy Powers, everybody, owner of the website GastroTommy.com. If people are interested in the sound of your voice, Tommy, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the website, where would you direct them to go?
You know, right to GastroTommy. So it's www.gastrotommy.com.
That's GastroTommy.com.
That's it. Thank you so much,
Tommy,
Billy.
Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
It was my pleasure, Billy. You have a great day.
And you too.